here's a story from The World.
Some sad news from the world of film this week. Melvin Van Peebles, the pioneering black filmmaker, died on Tuesday at the age of 89 at his home in Manhattan. He was known as the godfather of modern black cinema. His movies burst with the sounds of soul and funk and resistance. Van Peebles leaves an immense legacy in American and world cinema. Here to talk with us about his life is Raquel Gates, professor of film at Columbia University. Van Peebles was something of a Renaissance man. Raquel, a novelist, musician, painter, worked in the theater, and of course, was a filmmaker. How influential and widespread was his work?
You know, I think we really cannot emphasize enough how immensely influential he was, not just in terms of his storytelling practices, but also his labor practices. I mean, Van Peebles really figured out a way to work outside of the Hollywood system, as well as figuring out ways to sort of articulate his vision in really subversive ways within the Hollywood studio system.
There is a certain generation of filmmakers in Africa who are influenced by his work. What did those African directors see in Melvin Van Peebles' work that they did not see elsewhere in Hollywood?
I mean, I think what filmmakers around the globe saw was somebody from a community, from a marginalized community, telling his own story and telling the story of people who had been overlooked and ignored or misrepresented by Hollywood. And we see that within the context of the 1960s, part of the Black Arts Movement here in the United States, but also larger global and national cinemas. And I'm thinking of somebody like Santiago Alvarez in Cuba, people who were really interested in using film as a way of articulating a political vision and giving attention to individuals and communities that had been long overlooked.
Do you know how Melvin Van Peebles felt about how his work impacted directors in other parts of the world? Like, did he feel he connected with an audience he had not expected?
I think that he had a very strong vision of what he wanted to bring to people. Mm. And I think that his sort of attitude was, if people come, they come. If they don't, they don't. But he had an innate sense of confidence in what he was doing and the importance of what he was doing.
So more of an intentional revolutionary director.
Absolutely an intentional revolutionary director. I mean, just such a clear sense of vision and purpose, and also a clear sense of where his art practice fit into larger conversations.
He lived for some time in France, I gather. Why did he move there, and what effect did that have on his career and his life?
So, you know, Melvin Van Peebles was living in San Francisco, and he tells the story of trying to make it as an American filmmaker, but, you know, the sort of racism of the industry made that impossible. And so he picks up his family, you know, has all kinds of different jobs. At one point, he was a street performer in France. You know, he was an actor on the stage in the Netherlands for a bit. But it's in France that he's able to sort of make the connections in order to make the film that he wants to make and really sort of develop and hone his craft.
And was he able to achieve that in France?
Absolutely. I mean, the story of A Three-Day Pass, people talk about it in terms of sort of the ways that it deals with racism. It's the story of an American GI and his relationship with a white French woman comes out the same year as Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, starring Sidney Poitier. But it's a completely sort of different lens that Melvin Van Peebles is using and really sort of looking at the psychological state of the main character. But the thing that people don't talk about enough is it's such an amazing and experimental film in terms of its aesthetics. It's clear that he's sort of in conversation with the French New Wave filmmakers. You know, there's a really amazing shot, a double dolly shot, which Spike Lee has made famous, this kind of shot where it looks like a character's floating through
right.
space. And Melvin Van Peebles uses that, and this is 1967.
For your own scholarly research, Raquel, you've met and interviewed Melvin Van Peebles at his home. Give us a sense of what he was like.
It's a kind of a crazy story. I had a mutual contact. I was writing an academic article about Watermelon Man, and I asked this contact, you know, I'd love to chat with him. Do you know how to get in touch with him? And this contact gave me a phone number, and I thought it was a secretary or something. So, you know, I called, and Melvin Van Peebles answers the phone, you know? So,
wow.
And I said, I'd love to chat with you. And he says, well, if you can get here in 20 minutes, I'll chat with you for like 10 minutes or something like that. And so I jump on the subway, and I go over to his apartment. I mean, he's in the phone book, which is sort of insane to me. You know, he welcomed me in. We sat for 2 hours. And, you know, he was just so incredibly generous with his time and with his knowledge and talked to me about making that film, but also his experiences in Hollywood and, you know, his sort of thoughts on representation. And that's one of the things that's really sort of come out the more that people have been talking about him is just his immense generosity to people.
So just as Van Peebles dies this week, there are new audiences learning about his work. Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song is screening at the New York Film Festival this weekend. A revival of his play Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death is slated for return to Broadway next year. What do you think all that says about his work and how his legacy is going to live on?
People talk about Melvin Van Peebles usually in the context of the 1960s and 1970s. But what I think this demonstrates is that, you know, the stuff that he was exploring, these ideas of Black liberation and sort of elevating ordinary people to the level of figures really worth celebrating and really worth watching on film, I think there's a universality and a timelessness about that. And I think particularly now where people of color, both in the United States, but also around the globe, are still fighting some of these same battles, right? To have their lives celebrated and fight just to be recognized for their humanity. Those themes are just as relevant and significant as they were then.
Well, there has been so much scrutiny of the lack of diversity in Hollywood in recent years, from pre-production to acting to direction to post-production. Oscar is so white. How do you think Melvin Van Peebles' process where this arc landed in recent years as someone who was determined to bring justice to the system?
I think that Melvin Van Peebles recognized early on that the system is inherently broken. His response to that was, in the 60s, Hollywood won't let me be a filmmaker. Screw it, I'll go to France. When he wants to film a particular ending for Watermelon Man, and Columbia Pictures tells him, no, we want a different ending, he just lies to them, right? He tells them he's going to shoot two endings. He only shoots one. He breaks down the sets. He sends everybody home. And he puts Columbia in this position where they have no choice but to use his preferred ending. When he wants to make Sweetback and he realizes that that's never going to be a Hollywood film, he just does his own thing. I mean, I think that his response would be, you know, when Hollywood is closing the door, you find your own way, you craft your own path, you find a new way to do the thing that you want to do, and you don't let people tell you no.
Raquel Gates is a professor of film at Columbia University. She's also the consulting producer and editor for the Melvin Van Peebles box set being released by the Criterion Collection next week for really deep dives into the filmmaker, Melvin Van Peebles, who died this week at the age of 89. Raquel, really great to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you.